And if you would, take your Bibles, though, as we go in tonight to the message. We're going to go back to Mark chapter 9, and we are going to look a little bit further in the area of what the Bible teaches on biblical fasting. It is not something that's just a haphazard mentality or something we should do just because it seems to be spiritual. I'm going to give you several things here in a minute that fasting is not, and some scripture to give us the proof, you might say, as well as the confidence in knowing these things. But there are times in our lives when drastic things happen. There are times in our lives when we need God to intervene in a way that no matter how hard we beg others to pray with us, and no matter how much we earnestly pour our hearts, there are times when there are things that come only by prayer and fasting. There are times when we need to get alone and set aside, and we've already dealt a little bit on the fact that fasting humbles the spirit, fasting focuses the mind, and fasting chastens the soul, that part of us that has desires and clings to things. Sometimes we just need to put it in check. But fasting has a main purpose behind it, and we're going to see some of that this evening. I got a good bit of content. I'm going to get through it quickly, so you hold on, because I guarantee you won't be able to write all of it down. If you want the notes, I'll make a copy for you. But fasting is very important. It's not just something that spiritual people do. Fasting is something that any child of God can do with purpose and with a desire to get a hold of God in a way that, can I just put it this way? It's almost in a way that you're letting the Lord know, Lord, this is a time when I want to be more serious than I've ever been. Lord, I need to get with you and get closer than I've ever been. Lord, I need you to be walking closely and hearing. And Lord, even when I cannot utter the words for a broken heart, you understand my tears. Fasting brings about a humility, a focus, and a chastening of those desires and things that would get in the way of our prayer life, getting those things set aside so we can hone in, you might say, on our time with the Lord. It is a very sobering thing to go into a time of fasting. And we'll deal with more details on how long to fast, different types of fast later on, just for our ability to understand more about it. But tonight, looking at Mark chapter 9, and I want to look down. I don't want to read all the verses. We started in verse number 17 last time we dealt with this. But look at verse number 27. I'm going to start there and just to save some time. Verse number 27, Mark 9, says this: "But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose," dealing with the individual that was possessed with a spirit, an evil spirit, "and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.'" Now, I will remind you, Jesus did not have time to go aside and spend 4 or 5 days fasting. Jesus often went away for periods of time alone to fast and pray. There were many a times that he would fast and spend time with the Father for very serious matters. I believe some of it was to commune closely with the Father because of what he knew was coming. Others was to commune closely because of what he's already gone through, the spiritual warfare and battle. But Jesus was known to be one who would spend time fasting and praying and closely dealing with the Father so as to do what he said he was there to do. That is to follow and do the will of the Father his entire ministry. And so when it came time for this issue to be dealt with, Jesus did not have to go aside and all of a sudden say, oh man, it's been a long time since I fasted. I'm going to go fast and pray real quick. No, he had already faithfully done what needed to be done for him to be in agreement with the will of God and in touch with the power of God on his life. And so when Christ met, of course, didn't hurt that he was Jesus, and even the demons know who Jesus is, and they fear and tremble. But when he spoke and told the spirit to come out, it had no choice but to obey. And Christ just reminded and showed his disciples and said, listen, there are some things you can do with faithful prayer. And there are some things that require you to get even more serious and willing to set some things aside and fast and pray so that you can get as close as you've ever been to the Heavenly Father who can handle any issues that we deal with. Well, we're going to look a little bit more into fasting tonight as we continue on. We've already dealt with those three things. I'm going to give you some warnings concerning biblical fasting tonight to help us understand in a lot of senses what fasting is not and what oftentimes it often becomes for many, but it's not what these things that I'm about to show, it's not these things whatsoever. And if we use it in the wrong way, the power of prayer and fasting goes away if improperly used for the wrong reasons. But let me pray very quickly, and I'll give you these and get ready and buckle down. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight as we go through and look at these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to open it up and, Lord, to learn a little bit more in this area of prayer and the partner to prayer, this area of fasting. And Lord, you know I am no expert whatsoever in these matters, save alone that we have the Word of God to teach us and the Spirit of God to lead us. And I pray that you would help us tonight to learn a little bit more and understand a little bit better this area of fasting and, Lord, the command that we have that we need to fast, but, Lord, also the purpose behind it. May you help us to understand, and Lord, may we be challenged within our hearts to consider times of setting things aside for the sole purpose of getting alone a little bit more with our Heavenly Father in prayer for the needs that we face on a daily basis. And I pray that you just do a work in our hearts. Teach us tonight as only you can. We'll give you the honor and glory for it all in Christ's name. Amen. Here are some warnings concerning biblical fasting. Number one, biblical fasting is not for show, which oftentimes is where some people take it. You even see that in Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18, that Jesus himself is teaching and is instructing on the area of fasting. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, the Lord says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." You go into a fast. Well, let me read the other two verses. "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." What is that all about? There are many people who will take the idea of fasting and they want to use that system of fasting as a way to promote their spirituality. They go into a fast. They're not going to tell anybody that they're fasting, but they're going to, that food smells good. but I can't have any. Oh, mercy, I tell you what, I haven't known what it was to really go without food until the last several days. Oh, my goodness. What is that? Pining for attention. That's what that is. Wanting people, here's the thing, they're never going to say what it is that they're doing. They want people to ask, are you okay? The Lord had touched my heart, and I need to fast. And so I've been fasting. Just pray for me, brother, pray for me. When ye fast, do not as the hypocrites do. It's not about a show. Matter of fact, it's not even about, I just want to give God the glory that I've been fasting for 5 days and I still have the strength that I need to walk every day. Okay. Give them a round of applause. They have their reward. You see, fasting's not about drawing the attention of men. It's about getting the attention of God. It's not about men praising us. It's about God saying, you're serious. Now, we're not trying to earn God's favor through fasting, but I believe that when we personally decide to set some things aside, to spend more time with Him, since God knows all and He knows the heart, if our heart is right with it and our desire is to walk with Him closer and to spend more time with Him because we have some matters we need to bring before Him even more faithfully than we do in our regular prayer life, I believe that an all-knowing, all-aware, and all-wise God recognizes when we have put Him a little higher up in our priority list. He recognizes when we have taken the personal stance to spend more time with Him, even if it means I must set things aside to make that time. And that's ultimately what fasting is all about. It's not for a show. God hates the hypocritical religion, which is man's attempt to appear holy before other men without possessing true holiness before God. He did not say, if thou fastest, but rather, when thou fastest, which means that God expects that all His children at some point are going to understand the value of fasting from something at some time in some way to give more time to spending with their Heavenly Father. And He made a wonderful and definite promise that those who practice biblical fasting will be rewarded openly by God the Father. Your Father, which is in secret. And another time frame when it talks about going into thy closet, for your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Our personal life with God is much more effective when it's, can I put it this way, when it's private to begin with. God makes public what's private as He knows it needs to be known. God lets others see the reality of what's going on behind the closed doors. When man tries to promote what they're doing to man, it doesn't seem to come across as very spiritual. It seems to come across as very self-righteous. But yet God has the ability, when man humbly follows a way of walking with Him, God has the ability to take the humble and lift them up. Not only that, it's not only is it not for show, it is not for religious ritual. In Luke 18, 11 through 12, Jesus, again teaching, said the Pharisee, talking about the Pharisee and the publican, but He gives description of the Pharisee that prayed. He said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Honestly, that guy cracks me up that he would openly pray that way right in front of everybody like nobody really knew what he was doing. And he goes on to say, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, good for you, buddy. Woohoo. But here's the thing. What he's presenting is in his spiritual rituals, Fasting is nothing more than just something he does twice a week. It's just a habit he's formed. Fasting is not to be something that in a religious ritual we put into our week because, you know, it's just what I do as a Christian. No, it's supposed to be something that's done with great sobriety and great purpose and great definitive reason of why I'm choosing to spend extra time in fasting and prayer. This, dealing with this Pharisee, is a statement of that Pharisee who was practicing religion in an attempt to justify himself before God. He observed a regular period of fasting, but nowhere, though, does the Bible itself require such a practice. Much like the Bible teaches not to pray with vain repetition, and yet man has turned prayer into vain repetition. Number three, it is not for physical health. Some people use fasting as a weight loss program. At least once or twice a year, I'm going to fast. And in that fasting time, that's when I lose my weight. I'm sorry. The Bible never instructed or gave any connotation that that fasting was all for a weight loss program. Not for, well, if you fast, and I've heard preachers say it, I'm not going to say that it doesn't have a level of benefit at times, depending on how you're fasting or what you're fasting from. Can I be honest with you? There are many things that if we took a fast from some things in life, it's always going to be beneficial. And we'll give some other things as well later, but you know, if you fast from Facebook, it probably isn't going to hurt you. You might actually have a better attitude because you don't read all the junk and get mad and frustrated and then blow up at somebody else that had nothing to do with it. That's what happens to us. We read everybody else's gossip and get mad at the world. If we fast from something, there are times when setting something aside, by the way, I've learned this much. I have had a time when I was needing to have direction. I was needing to have the peace of God on a matter, and it was a struggle, and I didn't quite know what to do, and I was having a hard time getting the peace of God, and it was leading into the area of worry and fret. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to lay off. I'm going to, for the next, until God, I didn't even have a certain time. I just said, until God says, okay, go back to it. I laid off of all Cokes, all coffee. I laid off of everything but water when it came to drink. No, I ate regular, and I had water with every meal, but I only had water. I had nothing else. Ended up going for 2 months. Can I tell you, drinking a Coke after that was nasty. Did I do that so I could recover and not have a caffeine issue? Or no, not really. I didn't have to do it for those reasons. I was just fasting from something I did enjoy, setting that aside and giving more time to focusing on, Lord, I want nothing to do with that. I'm just going to drink water. Matter of fact, again, it may sound silly to some people, but I said, Lord, until I get an answer, I ain't touching none of it. And here's the thing. I liked it. I wanted it. Okay. Y'all know me and coffee. I really wanted coffee. And for the first several weeks, when you're used to Cokes and Dr. Peppers and coffee, get off of it for a little while and see if your body doesn't say, I need it, I need it, I need it. Yeah, it does. Some of you get off of chocolate for a while, see what happens. All right. But watch. I got off it for a good while. Now, here's the thing. I didn't do it for the health benefit, but when it was all said and done, come to find out, it wasn't bad for me. It actually, my taste buds became heightened, and all of a sudden, the sensitivity to taste became overwhelming because all that junk we're putting in our bodies constantly is just dulling down what God designed our taste buds to be able to do. And all, man, everything had better flavor. And that's why when I drank a Dr. Pepper for the first time, 2 months later, I'm like, it's like sugar. I'm like, I'm drinking straight sugar. It didn't taste like that before. Why? But everything's more sensitive now. Coffee, like, go for a while. And I could drink all the way up until midnight, drink the heaviest caffeinated stuff, and no, I'd go right to bed. After 2 months of not being on it at all, drink one cup of coffee. Why can't I sleep? Okay. Why? Because there were added benefits, but fasting is not for health benefits. Fasting is not something done just so I can lose weight or feel better, though technically there are some things that when we fast from them, whether food or other items or just things that we normally give ourselves, to fast and set those things aside, sometimes just setting some things aside for a while helps us to appreciate them once again even more. But it's not for physical health. And Psalm 109, verse number 24, gives the idea of what some people will go through even in fasting. The psalmist said, "My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness." What is that? He's been fasting and praying and just really stressed and focused on the Lord. It's not like he got healthy because of it. He was struggling due to the fast. And so fasting's not always and not really specifically for that health need. And so various sorts of fasting may or may not promote better health, but that's not the purpose. Number four, it is not an empty ascetic practice. Now, ascetic practice meaning that it is something that is done in order to appear holy or more righteous. And going to Colossians 2, verse 20 through 23, it says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." You say, what is all that dealing with? Well, it's dealing, ultimately, Paul is dealing with some false teachers in his day that are practicing the act of fasting because they believed that in fasting, it made them more holy. It made them more spiritual because other people don't fast like I fast. I'm more spiritual. And so they taught that salvation and sanctification were attained by following a list of rules such as touch not, taste not, handle not, fast from these things, and that brings about your salvation and brings about sanctification, basically by works. As long as you fast from these things, it produces a holiness in your life. By the way, this is also a practice that has been taught and brought through many other religions, such as the Roman Catholicism, the idea of fasting for holiness, and even Seventh-day Adventists will teach along those lines of it is through your life of fasting, through your life of removing yourself from things and isolating yourself, you become holy. It's not for that ascetic practice of trying to be holy. Fasting is about just trying to get closer to God for a period of time, to spend more time with Him, walk with Him, learn from Him. Number five, fasting does not, and here's a tough one, but fasting does not necessarily guarantee that we receive the desired answer to prayer. In 2 Samuel 12, I'm not going to go there, but you'll find that David himself fasted and grieved and prayed and poured himself out to the point that even his servants thought he was going to kill himself in the great severity of his fast and the great severity of his anguish and the great severity of his prayer as he prayed to the Lord, "Spare my child." And yet God did not honor David's fast in that particular case, because God had told him, "This child, which is conceived out of sin, is going to die." They thought David had gone mad because David fasted and David prayed and David pleaded with God, and they were worried about him during that time frame. He would not take a thing to eat. And then when the child died, David got up, David washed himself, David got himself all cleaned up and went about everything like it was all over. No big deal. They literally thought he'd lost his mind. They thought he went crazy. But in the end, all it was David was fasting, praying, and pleading with God. But David was willing to accept the answer that God gave. And when God said, no, I'm not going to change my mind. I told you the consequence, David, and it's still going to happen. When it was all said and done, David got himself up. David accepted God's choice. David accepted God's answer. And David went on and said, still going to serve him. So fasting does not necessarily mean or guarantee that we are going to get the answer we're hoping for. So then, should we even fast? Yeah. Because if I get closer to God, whether he gives me the answer I'm praying for, getting closer to him isn't going to hurt me either way. Matter of fact, the closer I am to him, the easier it will be to trust him if the answer I'm praying for is not the answer I get. Lastly, in this thing, biblical fasting is not a matter of law, but liberty. Now, here is one area that Christian liberty can be properly presented. The Bible does not specifically give a command of fasting and when to fast and how to fast and what things to fast from. It is a personal matter. That is why the Lord in Matthew 6 said to go and your Father which is in secret shall see in secret and reward thee openly. Why? Because it is a personal thing. Fasting is important and useful in a Christian's life and service, but it is not something that can be or is commanded to be regular, to be a certain way, or if you don't do this, you're out of the will of God. That is not the way the Bible presents fasting. Fasting is a partner to prayer that honestly, the only time that that failing to fast would be, in this preacher's opinion, would be sin, is when the Holy Spirit has laid it on the heart of the individual, I want you to spend some time fasting from such and such to spend more time and more concentrated focus on me. Set aside that thing you would normally give yourself and focus on me even more. When the Holy Spirit lays it on your heart and I say, I really don't want to do that. It's just as much sin if God told me, I want you to go and witness this person, and I say, Lord, I really just don't have time, or I don't want to talk to them. When the Holy Spirit lays on our heart, you need to fast over this matter, and I say, but I really don't want to go without. That's when fasting or the failure to fast would be a sin on my part. Because it would be in direct, not direct obedience to a command from the Word of God, a direct obedience to the command and the direction of the Holy Spirit in my life. And that goes the same manner as any other direction that God has laid on my heart through the leading of the Holy Spirit. To obey would be to follow God's will. To disobey would be sin. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, him it is sin. When I know God wants me to set something aside and spend more time with him, and I say no, then I know to do good and I do it not. To me, that at that moment would be sin. But it's not a matter of law. God doesn't say, here's what you're supposed to do. The Lord says there are times that fasting is needed in a partnership with your prayer life. And there are times that God will lead and direct. But it is an area of liberty. It's an area of every child of God has the ability to choose for themselves whether the Holy Spirit is telling them to fast or not. Somebody says, well, I think this is a matter you ought to be fasting over. Well, I thank you for your opinion. I appreciate it. Now, part of me wants to say at times when people get real spiritual and start telling me what God said to do, when it's not really God said to do it, but God told them to tell me, there are times that the flesh in me wants to say, I appreciate your opinion, but opinions are like armpits. Everybody has a couple and they all stink. All right, but when you get down, God does not command, but he does teach the value of, and he does greatly encourage. When Jesus went alone to fast, he didn't look at his disciples and say, now you boys better fast with me now. If you don't fast, you're going to be in trouble. Jesus fasted on the times when he knew he needed to fast. He taught fasting based off of the individual knowing when they need to. It is one of those areas of liberty that the individual child of God is to follow the individual leading of the Holy Spirit for their life to know what, when, where, and how to go about this area of fasting. Or there are times when, I know you think I ought to be fasting, but it's not something the Lord hasn't laid on my heart that this is an area for fasting right now. So I'm not going to make a ritual out of it. I'm not going to try to do something to earn God's favor. I don't really feel the conviction to fast over this matter, and until God tells me to fast, I just won't. But if he does tell me, I will. That is the liberty of the child of God. That is the freedom in Christ to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, not by great command, but by taught opportunity. Let me just give you very quickly the importance of biblical fasting. And the importance of fasting can be seen in the fact that there are 30 positive examples, commands that are given to different people and instructions in Scripture about fasting. There are 30 of them. Y'all ready? I'm going to read them off. We'll go through this, and this is where we're gonna stop off for tonight. This is what you're not going to get all of, all right? So you can try to write as fast as you can. You might light the paper on fire. Here we go. In Judges 20, in verse number 26, Israel fasted for victory in war. In 1 Samuel 1, 6 through 7, Hannah fasted for a son. In 1 Samuel 7, verse number 6, Israel fasted in repentance before God. 1 Samuel 31, 13, the men of Jabesh-Gilead fasted in mourning for Saul himself, the king. In 2 Samuel 1, 12, David and his men fasted in mourning over their situation and for God's intervention. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, David fasted for mercy upon his child, what we were just talking about. In 1 Kings 21, 27, Ahab fasted for mercy. Even the wicked king, Ahab fasted. By the way, it got God's attention. Read the story. Ahab, wicked king, God was going to destroy him. Ahab fasted. Ahab prayed for mercy. And God looked upon him and said, you know what? I'm going to have mercy. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 3, Jehoshaphat and Israel fasted for help and protection from the Lord against their enemies. In Ezra chapter 8, 21 through 23, Ezra and the Jews fasted for help and protection from their enemies. Nehemiah 1 and verse number 4, Nehemiah fasted in mourning and for help from the Lord as he desired to rebuild the walls. Nehemiah 9 and verse 1 through 2, Israel fasted in mourning and repentance so God would show favor once again to his people. Israel and Esther 4, verse number 16, Esther and the friends that she had and all those around her fasted for victory. In Esther 9 and verse number 3, fasting is mentioned as having had a role in the great victory over Haman. Psalm 35, verse 13 and 14, fasting in prayer and mourning is mentioned in Psalm 69, 10 and 11. Again, fasting through prayer and mourning is mentioned. Isaiah 58, 6 through 8, the fast which pleases God is mentioned. Jeremiah 36 and verse number 9, Israel fasted for God's mercy to be shown. Joel 1, 14, and then again in chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 15, God commanded fasting and repentance for his people. There were times when God commanded and said, ye need to fast and repent. So there are times, not necessarily as a whole, but God does give command, just like God can, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, can put a command on the heart of any child of God. This is time for you to fast and time for you to pray. Which would at that moment be a command for that individual straight from God, a leading of the Holy Spirit that must be followed to be in obedience with God's will. Jonah 3, 5, the Ninevites fasted in repentance for mercy. Jonah preached and told them that destruction and death and complete annihilation of their people was coming, that they would be greatly judged, and that from the greatest of them to the least of them, rent their clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes and mourned, fasted and prayed and begged the God of heaven to have mercy on them and forgive them. And the greatest revival ever known to man took place in the city of Nineveh through fasting and prayer. Daniel 9:3, Daniel fasted for wisdom. Matthew 4, 2, Jesus fasted when tempted in the wilderness. Matthew 6, 17 through 18, Jesus promised that the Father would bless the fasting of his people. Matthew 9, 14 through 15, Jesus said his disciples would fast. In Matthew 17, 21, it is necessary, present necessary for overcoming some demonic strongholds, as we've already read. Sometimes it's only by prayer and fasting. Sometimes the Satan has got a hold of individuals, and sometimes it's that individual that may be overshadowed and might be overwhelmed with the intent that Satan has to destroy their life. It might take some fasting and prayer to break some strongholds in their life. It might be somebody you know, somebody you care about, somebody you're praying for, and it just doesn't seem like anything's happening, and it just seems like things are not really going anywhere, and they just seem to go deeper and deeper. Well, sometimes it might be that we say, Lord, I'm setting aside whatever it is you lay on my heart to set aside. I am going to fast, and I am going to pray, and I am going to plead until something happens in a miraculous way to get Satan from destroying the life of my loved one. One thing I can say is, be ready when you make a commitment. Don't give up on the commitment if it takes a little while. Going on, Luke 2, 37, fasting was a part of Anna's service to God. In Acts 13, 2, fasting was part of the ministry of the workers at Antioch. Acts 13, 3 and 14, 23, ordination was accompanied by fasting. 1 Corinthians 7, 5, only proper reason for abstinence in marriage is fasting. 2 Corinthians 6, 5, Paul fasted to keep a focus as a minister of Jesus Christ so as to put under the control of the spirit that flesh. He said, I fast and I fast and I fast in order to keep control and keep focus as a minister of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 11, 27, Paul presents that he fasted often, not as ritual, but as necessity to keep control of that flesh, to keep giving the spirit more focus than his fleshly desires. These examples and instructions regarding fasting cannot be taken lightly. The examples of Scripture are given to us for a reason. These examples of Scripture, I would dare say, are as important as the commands you find in Scripture themselves. You say, how do you know that? By two passages, and I'm done tonight. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We are given the examples of how God's people used biblical fasting for multiple different reasons and looking for multiple different outcomes. Sometimes the fast produced the result of getting God's attention, realizing this individual is not just coming to me as all normal times, but they have put aside and set aside a specific purpose, and they're serious. They mean business. That's what happened to Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king. God was going to destroy him. God was through with him. And Ahab fell on his face. And Ahab prayed. And Ahab fasted. And it got God's attention. There had to have been, as much as we put Ahab down, there had to have been something very genuine and very real about his choice to fast and pray and get a hold of God. Something in that was full of genuine repentance, at least for the moment, that it got God's attention, and he said, I'll have mercy. Now, unfortunately, Ahab didn't stay there, and Ahab ended up drifting right back to where he was before. Once he got the answer he was hoping for, it didn't take very long, and he went back to his old habits. But it doesn't take away from the truth that we see that fasting and prayer can get the attention of a holy God. And there are times in our lives when we need to be ready and willing and say, Lord, there are times when you say, I don't know if I need to fast or not. How about you just ask the God who knows all things? Lord, do I need to fast? Sometimes you don't even have to ask, you just know. This is a matter so serious, so burdensome, so overwhelming, I can't handle it. It's not just prayer, and a faithful prayer at that, that's going to get me through. I need to spend some extra serious time. And that means I need to set something aside that I normally would give myself, something I would normally enjoy, something I would normally put in my day. I need to give some time and throw that out for a while until God says, bring it back. And it might even be there are things in our lives that once we get out, the Lord says, now that that's gone, you'd just be better off without it anyways. And we realize I didn't really need that as much as I thought I needed it. Fasting is a vital part of our walk with God. As I've said, I am not an expert whatsoever. I do know what it is to fast and to pray. Not have a clue which way I'm supposed to go when I started, and to have all peace about what the decision needs to be in the end. I do know what that feels like. I know what that experience is. I'll give you this one more thing and I'm going to quit. She knows where I'm going with it. When it came to meeting my wife, we met at Smite Camp. We had both been there for several years prior. Never recognized her, really. Better yet, the other way around, she never recognized me. Go figure. I mean, I'm the best-looking guys there, and she just didn't know what was good for her. But, yeah, thank you. Perfect timing. But there, I had just gone through a time frame when there was a young lady in our church that we had kind of grown together and been together through high school. And I believed with all my heart she was the one God had for me. I was convinced of it. so many different things. I threw so many fleeces out there and God answered the prayer. You know, sometimes we can convince ourselves that God actually did on the fleece what we asked him to do. We say, Lord, let the fleece be wet. We pour water on it. Oh, looky there what God did. And sometimes that's how we act. But I was convinced, this young lady, this is the one for me. And unfortunately, through a series of events, I got my heart broke. I'm talking about absolutely rip out, throw it on the ground, stomp, smother, and blow it to pieces. Broke. The first time in my entire life, I hated girls. I'd never known what that was like. I thought girls were awesome. First time in my entire life, I absolutely hated and despised. I couldn't stand. Honestly, I'm like, you know what? Forget every one of you. I'm done with you. Backstabbing women. But I was hurt. And we went to Smite that year. It had only been a little bit of time since all that took place. And it's a much longer story. And you'd understand some of the hurt if you heard the whole thing. But we went to Smite camp that year. And we had a lady in our church that was just, I mean, she was so heartbroken over the situation I had gone through. So just, oh my goodness. God, you got to give him a good one. You know, I was the preacher's kid. And so it's like, oh Lord, you got to help our preacher son. Which one can I find around here? I'm going to help out. And that was her, Miss Jade Tussie. That was her her calling in life for that week. She was going to find me the one God had for me. And I mean, every day, what about her? What about her? What about her? I'm like, will you please stop? And one day at Natchez, the haven there at Natchez where we were holding a Smite camp at the time, the long staircase went all the way upstairs right to where the chapel room was. We held church. And we were up at the very top of the stairwell. It was kind of a free time. And she had me cornered up there at the top of the stairwell. What about this? What about that? Here's a really, really, really good girl. I told her, I said, okay, stop. I am not interested in any of them. About that time, now she never remembers this. She has no clue. But about that time, Miss Jade was here, I'm here. There's a little bit of a gap in between us. About that time, she walks in between us and down the stairway. And I just had this great idea. I'm going to shut Miss Jade up. I'm going to tell her. If I was ever, which I'm not, but if I was ever going to be interested in anybody here, it would be one like her. But leave it alone. Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Miss Jade took that as God's calling. Little did I know that she was my wife's at the time. She was her driver going to clubs. And they had a decently far club. And so the whole way there and the whole way back, every single day, she was working on her. What do you think about him? He's a good guy, isn't he? Just on and on and on. About drove her crazy. But here's the whole point of that. I had tried to make things happen in my life as a teenager. My dad kept telling me, son, what was Adam doing when God made Eve? Anybody here know the answer? Sleeping. God didn't ask Adam his opinion. God didn't ask Adam what he was looking for. God said, Adam, go to sleep. I'll take care of it. And when Adam woke up, there was God's plan for him right there in front of him. He said, son, if you'll just fall asleep and let God handle it, you'll be a lot happier. Well, I didn't listen to that advice at all. I kept trying to help God. And I got hurt through it. And I began to think that there's nobody out there that's worth having. They're all backstabbers. And about that moment when I looked at Miss Jada and said, but I'm not interested. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't care about anything. Leave me alone. Went to walk away and it's like God went, hey, you idiot. You've been doing your thing and messing it all up, and here I am. I'm putting the one that you ought to consider right in front of you, and you're going to reject it. About that time, I began to think. And I was like, you know, if there's any chance whatsoever that she's the one for me, maybe I ought to be open to it and just not put my hands on the situation, let God work it out. So I began to pray. Lord, and this was Monday, we had until Friday, began to pray, Lord, if there's any chance that maybe this is something you want to do instead of me doing something, her parents have got to come and my parents have got to be here because I am not the one going to step forward. I'm actually going to get my dad in touch with his dad and let them talk first. You say, what? Yeah, I did it on purpose because I put my hands on everything and I can manipulate anything and I was out of it. Nope. I'm going to let our parents talk first and I'm going to put myself in subjection to their guidance and subjection to their direction and let them lead the way. And when it's time, I'll step in and take the lead as my dad says, okay, son, man up. But I was going to let them, as authority, step ahead, do the initial talking, and I'd put myself underneath them. So I began to pray about it. I think it was Tuesday I found out her parents, for the first time ever, were not going to come pick them up on Friday. I'm like, that's ridiculous. And so I found out it was a pretty sure thing. It had already been decided. Her dad, their pastor was coming to get his kids, and he was going to pick all of them up and going to take them all back. It was already settled and done. I thought, what am I praying for then? It's over with. And it's like God said, no, why don't you just show how serious you are? So as a, how old was I? 18? 19? 19-year-old young man. I spent the remainder of that week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all day Friday at Smite, where we're going to be up early, be in classes, study hard, go out in the heat, hold five-day Bible clubs, come back, have services until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, go to bed, get back up at 5 and start all over again all week long, and I'm going to go and I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. All I'm going to do is drink water. Looking back on it, that seems really stupid. But I fasted and I prayed and I said, God, if you want this to happen in your will, her parents have to come get them. They have to be here Friday. If they're not here Friday, then you're not doing this and I'm walking away from any of it and all of it. Found out later, no, guess they showed up Friday. Found out later, though, that it was on Thursday, I think, wasn't it? Thursday of that week, her dad looked at her mom and said, I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. All I know is we have to change our plans. We have to be there Friday and pick our kids up. And, of course, she wasn't too happy because it changed everything. She's like, I don't get it. What? He said, I don't know. Are our kids going to be sick? Is somebody going to get hurt? Are they going to get an accident? Come with somebody? I don't know what it is. All I know is we have to go. They showed up on Friday. My mom and dad showed up. My dad talked to her dad. And as they say, the rest is history. But I can attest to the fact that when you take time and God says, why don't you fast and pray? I can attest to the fact when you fast and you pray, that which everyone says is impossible, that which is already settled, nothing's going to change it, that which no one knows but only God, and he can still perform it, and he can still do it. Does it mean that fasting is going to give us what we want? No, it's not a magic button you can press to get answered prayer. But it can get a hold of the heart of God. And it can get the bending of the ear. You want to give more time to me? I want to give a little more attention to your prayer. And it might be that I don't get what I'm looking for, but I do get closer to him. That in itself is a benefit. Fasting's important. Fasting makes a difference. It's not something to be done as a ritual. It's not an absolute command, but it is something that is encouraged by the Word of God for the child of God in times of great importance and great need. And it does make a difference. Let's be a people that's willing, as the Spirit leads, to fast and pray over things that the Lord says, this is one of those times. Why don't you set it aside? Why don't you take some time? Why don't you just pour more into our relationship for this purpose? It does matter. It does work. And it does help God's people. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for what we're able to look at.